Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer, and I am blessed. And if you don't think I'm blessed, look at the people that have joined me, Tamika Taylor, Pace Morby, and Rick Jordan. But especially blessed when you have Liz Claiborne as our guest. Welcome back, my dear friend, the unbelievable genius, gorgeous genius is how I define her today. Thank you for joining us.
Keep it coming. My cranium is expanding.
Well, we love you and we hope to see you in person soon. She's the number one business news anchor woman in the entire country and well-deserved, by the way, has her pulse on people. And that's where I want to start my question. I've been studying circumstance, and I think a lot of people, because of media, have an overload of circumstance. There's so many different circumstances, but we lived in a more vacuous environment. There was just less circumstance, and it really is paralyzing people. It's creating anxiety and separation and a feeling of overwhelm combined with these social silos that then control the circumstances to skew our opinions and our ability to think. You're at the forefront of this type of silo, and you get over flooded with the circumstances as well. I was wondering how you see things from your perspective, how they're going, and where you would guide people as they're overwhelmed and overloaded with circumstance.
Well, I hope it makes people feel better if they hear that you're right, David. I am overwhelmed. Sometimes I say, you know, my emotional bandwidth is completely stuffed. There is no more room. And I wish I could like pull something out and let what happened yesterday come out. But everything's coming at us. And I know that that is incredibly difficult for a lot of people who are worried about their finances, worried if they're going to keep their job, worried about the stock market, worried about their 401k and their 529 college savings for their kids. So you're not alone. That is definitely for sure. And I mean, I'm a big proponent of even if it's difficult, you have to remain educated and up to speed on the news. And of course, for me, it's times a thousand because I've got to be disseminating that. I've got to be informing people, and it's coming at us fast and furiously. And that is a very challenging thing. And in this day and age, obviously, with the technological advancements that we have all seen happen, I mean, it's like at the speed of thought that things keep changing and we get more and more of it coming at us like a solar wind. And to absorb that and then to make decisions is a very challenging thing. And what I've found the best thing to do is stay calm, stay informed, don't make any rash decisions. And especially when it comes to investing, the longer term is where you really make the most money. And if you don't try and time the market, no, I think it's all going to go down and then I'll scoop up, you know, that dollar cost averaging, putting the same amount in every month into a broader index. And I'm just repeating what Warren Buffett advises himself. That in the end is going to really serve people very, very well versus panicking and getting really nervous when they see a day like a couple of them that we had in the last 2 weeks where the stock market was wildly fluctuating because the headlines about tariffs and what's coming out of Washington, D.C. are very worrisome. But stay calm and carry on.
Wise words from a wonderful woman.
Liz, I love your energy. First of all, you are just a bright light. What advice would you give to entrepreneurs who are trying to adjust in this crazy time?
So this is so interesting because one of the things, and David knows this because he has been on my podcast, is that I decided back in 2019 to do a podcast, but not the usual CEO interview podcast. It was only people who had achieved really high levels of success but who had gone through literal hell to get there. Like, you can't just come on if you had a smooth sail and everything went well. No, I need failure. I need devastation. I'm going to quit 58 times. Nobody will need startup.
Thus, I was on her podcast.
It's like, boy, that reminds me.
Thank you.
For this. And I've talked to so many successful people, billionaires, people who were told, I mean, we had one guy who said he went to 56 different investors asking for startup money. And they all said no. And I said, okay, tell me about the first yes. And he said 57. And it wasn't a yes, it was a maybe. And so I would advise investors to understand and to really reach out And listen to podcasts like David's or mine, Everyone Talks to Liz, because you will hear it's actually, Tamika, supposed to be like this. You're supposed to be scared. You're supposed to think you're hanging by a thread. You're supposed to be terribly nervous and on the verge of quitting 58 times. That's actually how it's supposed to go. And by the way, it's a great story to tell the grandkids, because as long as you hang on with every ounce of energy and your fingernails and your muscles and everything that you've got, you will succeed. You just have to believe in yourself and never stop trying and never give up.
No doubt. It's never the mistakes that we made, Paces, you know, in the real estate market that are going to stop us. It's a lack of commitment. And we need people like Liz to inspire us to keep committed to learning lessons and making those mistakes. And sooner or later, I promise you, you will get there or better. Paces Morby, you're making it happen. What are you thinking today?
I'm sitting here thinking everybody talks to Liz, right?
Yeah.
And those people have kids. And I think the greatest thing that you can invest in is outside of stocks and real estate and all of those things has got to be your own kids. So all the people that you're talking to, these billionaires and these people that have failed and succeeded multiple times, do you have any advice to people listening on what those people are telling their kids to do in the future, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years in the future? Technology is advancing so quickly that jobs today will not exist in 15 years. And so how are billionaires that Liz gets to talk to telling their kids to spend their time?
Ooh. So what's interesting about billionaires is many of them started out poor, and now they've got kids who have lived in the lap of luxury. And I feel like I can actually speak to this because my father and my mother were penniless kids of penniless. There's a lot of penniless here. My mom came from penniless Romanian Jewish immigrants. My dad, penniless. They used to argue about who was poorer. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go upstairs and wash my hair in Evian while you guys argue about this. Because I got to be raised in the lap of luxury, you know, when you compare it to what my dad, whose grandparents and parents came from Ukraine, and they had it hard. And then that generation, my parents, worked their tails off. My dad became a world-renowned surgeon. My mom became a formally trained Shakespearean theater actress so that they could give us, you know, this comfortable life in Los Angeles. But my dad used to say, you know, kids, I gave you every advantage except disadvantage.
Ooh.
I couldn't give you the advantage I had. Disadvantage is actually a driver and an advantage. So when you're talking to your kids and you're successful and they have not ever felt what maybe you or your parents or their grandparents have felt, how do you do that? So I remember asking Lloyd Blankfein, who ran Goldman Sachs, and I said, because he used to sell hot dogs at Yankee Stadium for extra money when he was a kid. Okay. Then he becomes the CEO of Goldman Sachs and he raises these kids who obviously never went a day being hungry or feeling like they had to schlep up and down the stairs at Yankee Stadium going, hot dog, popcorn. And I said, how did you raise your kids to understand the value of a dollar and a hard day's work? And he said, you know, Liz, you can't make your kids poor. When they're raised like this, you can't sit there and say, all right, you have to know what it feels like to be poor. That's never going to work. You have to make them understand that they have to feel what it feels like to work hard for a living. What does that mean? That means once their, you know, camp years are over, they got to get a job. And when he said that to me, my kids were really young. And when my daughter's camp years were over, I said, get a job. So she went to go work at one of these Playa Bowl, acai bowls and yogurt bowl places. Remember, she came home the first day and she said, Mom, my legs hurt from standing for hours. And I said, bingo. That's what you need to know, is how it feels to put in a hard day's work and to understand that each hour that you made your salary, that's how hard you work to get that money. So that, I think, is really important. You got to have your kids get a job. And that, and then you get to the point of what you just brought up, which is AI and what jobs are even as a career going to exist. I'm definitely concerned about that. But if you go back in history, you look at people who started typewriter companies, there were 150 typewriter companies. They're all pretty much out of business because everything transferred to computers. Same with the buggy whip. You could go back in history and just go over and over again, all of these companies that don't even exist anymore because of evolution, industrial revolution. So in my opinion, I think the best advice is to A, and it's not just follow your passion. It's got to be smart about following your passion and develop a skill that can't be replaced by a machine. And what is that? Well, for me, it was journalism and having a personality and being on camera and being able to develop my craft and disseminate that information. But it works for brilliant writers. It works for brilliant artists. It works for technologists who we still need to make sure that we are developing the right technology. All of this AI was developed by humans. Let me just remind the whole world about that. So it's just developing what makes you unique and to reach out and make sure you grab that right around the neck and just hold on for dear life and develop it and just perfect it. And also have that attitude of why versus, you know, the attitude of why not versus why, the attitude of sure, on it, let's go, let me try it. And doing the grunt work. Like I would rip wire copy at 4 a.m. That was my first job in television news. That's what I did. I delivered newspapers at Channel 2 in Los Angeles at 5 a.m. and answered the phones. I never once said, what am I doing here? I grew up in Beverly Hills and I deserved it. That is a recipe for disaster. I was the one who was putting the paper on the teleprompter and rolling it. And I'll always be able to say that I started at the bottom. That is a gift. But I grew up with a lot of kids who didn't want to do that. And they're not on Fox Business like I am.
That's right.
Well, she's definitely the poster child for try me, not why me, even though she's from Beverly Hills. Bring us home, Rick Jordan.
What's shaking, Liz? I got a pro-life tip from you. Yeah, exactly. Wash your hair in Evian. That's what I picked up from everything you said so far. Right? Yeah, but we got to wrap it up here real quick, right? So I was laid off 2 weeks before my twins were born years ago, you know, founded my business. And then I get stricken with this horrendous illness from a gangrenous gallbladder, almost die on a 3.5-hour surgery. And then that's when I went into media and started a personal brand. That's when I started going on TV was after that. And that's when allowed me to eventually take the company public as well. We're talking about all these shifts and everything going on, but I tell you, I love TV. I love camera. I love doing everything to communicate with people, which I see you doing too. There's been a lot of shifts in that industry too. You know, not just AI, but there's been a lot of shifts in communication, the forms that we communicate. Where do you see that going in 5 years? Because I'm selfish in this question. I want to jump on it. I love going on Bloomberg, on Newsmax, on News Nation, on CBS. I love all that. Love to come on your show too. Shameless plug. But where's everything going?
That's why I list all those effed up things.
Room for this guy. Let me rewind because you said something incredible. The world threw just about everything at you. And instead of saying, woe is me, you flip the narrative. You know, it's the prism through which we choose to look. If it's, I can't believe this is happening to me. This sucks. What am I going to do? I'm going belly up. That's the wrong prism. You've got to figure out how to, as they say, make lemonade out of lemons. Okay. It's the silver lining playbook that to me, it's always, what can you turn this really bad situation? How do you turn that into something good? We're going through an existential crisis in cable news,
yeah.
All right? And broadcast news as well. And we've been watching as it's been almost like a slow motion derailment in a way. And things, I mean, when I got into news and I was a little production assistant, the grizzled writers and producers would walk past me and say, evening news is going away. Well, last I checked, David Muir is still doing the evening news, and he is a huge star. Lester Holt, you know, people are still tuning in to see that. However, now, fast forward, because I've been doing this 33 years, stop doing the math, I'm 61. The fact is that
you look great because of the Evian.
We are actually now starting to see massive cord cutting, YouTube TV. But guess what? It's amazing to me, or not, that Fox News and Fox Business are crushing it. People are still tuning in. In fact, Fox News just beat all three broadcast networks. Okay, that's incredible.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Now, why? Are we all kind of leading with the same stories or covering the same stories? Probably, yeah. But the people here understand, and this goes back to machines, AI, or actual humans, they understand that people watch people. So if, whether it's YouTube TV or streaming, they're going to find me or Martha McCallum or Jesse Waters if they really, really like them. And that goes for, you know, the Joe Scarboroughs and the Mika Brzezinskis of the world, or the David Muirs. It's a connection to the person, and then they watch the show. So, I mean, this is sort of a multi-pronged way of saying to you that I think where it's going, it's sort of like the changing of the echelon. We're going to different areas, whether it is streaming or to, like, I think Netflix is going to start doing news. I really do. They have said they're not. Give me a break. I'm
predicting right They've here. Done everything they said they're not. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You got to understand and recognize. Sometimes you think you're in a rut, but you are really in a groove. And it works the other way too. Sometimes you think you're in a groove and everything's great, but you're actually in a rut. People constantly say, what's next for you, Liz? And I'm like, if I do anything, it's going to be from here and sprouting, you know, different opportunities, but from my Fox platform, because Fox does it right. And what you're doing, what you've been able to do is, I mean, attract people with the way that, and same for David, attract people with the way you communicate. That will never change and that will always be valuable. Okay, so you go to a different platform. What that's going to be, I don't know. See, when it was broadcast, it became cable. Go on cable. I was in local news in Boston covering, you know, live from the whale carcass off the coast of Rhode Island when I got the call from CNBC. Wow. And I'm like, oh, I've never owned a stock before. Why are they calling me? Because they like the way I communicated. Yeah. And I was like, cable, I want to go to WABC or WNBC or KNBC. You know what? The best thing I ever did was go into niche cable news, business news, because then I became a commodity that was very scarce. There are fewer people who can do TV and understand business, which I became self-taught. And now it's like, well, YouTube TV, well, Fox is on YouTube TV.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Things tend to shift and move along with the groove if they're good enough. So that's what I would say. I mean, I read the you know, down the road, but I will say there's no substitute for personality, self-education, and always thinking, I got to get better. I've got to get better.
There may be anybody better. That's why she's a member of the Cable Hall of Fame and well-deserved as well. Everyone can talk to Liz, as you know, because you can watch the host of the Clayman Countdown on Fox Business, number one news anchor woman in America, and host of Everyone Talk to Liz podcast. Hopefully someday Rick Jordan will be on there. He's well deserved. You failed big enough like me to get on there, Rick. So congratulations. Make me a promise that someday I'll get to see you in New York or beyond, wherever we are, because you are a star. And you light up my life and so many millions of people in America. That's why they follow Liz wherever she goes. Everyone talk to Liz. Everyone loves Liz. Congratulations, Liz, for all of the great things that you're doing. We look forward to having you back. I'm blessed to have all of you with me to share my friend, Liz Clayman. This is David Meltzer with Office Hours.